Valentine's Day back in 2013. And legendary comedian Shecky Green has died at 97.
Here he is right now, ladies and gentlemen. Shecky. Shikey, Shucky, whatever the heck his name is.
His wife confirms he died of natural causes this morning. Green was considered the lord of the Las Vegas Strip for decades. This is CBS News.
Find tools for the job site or your own backyard at over 10,000 authorized local steel dealers. Find yours at steelusa.com. STIHLUSA.com.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
One. Hurdy throws over the middle, picked off.
Moore.
Backside pressure, down he goes.
Game.
To the end zone. Touchdown, Braylon Allen.
The Badgers.
The Tigers.
Live from Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, Florida. It's the ReliaQuest Bowl. Join us Monday. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football. The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
With Central Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the upper teens, sunny, low 30s for New Year's Day, mostly clear and breezy Monday night with a low near 22. For Tuesday, partly sunny, breezy, 33. On your Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high around 31 degrees.
Right now, it's 28.
Good evening, world. Your host and program director here, James J. Maloff, with my partner in art, Seth Habager here. And thank you for joining us. Really, it's kind of a director's cut, deleted scenes edition of the morning show, because we are bringing in really the class of our organization around here. Melissa Kay with us on the show today. Mel, thanks for joining us.
I'm glad to be here, gentlemen.
Really appreciate the time, Melissa. Thank you so much. I know we take from your time. You got other things you could be doing. Thank you for hanging out with us here.
I don't know what else I'd be doing, guys. There's nothing I like more than hanging out with you two, even if I got to be on the phone.
Oh, she's good. She's good.
She's good.
I wanted us to. I brought this up about a month ago. Really, I wanted to do this on the show here. I thought it'd be fun. You know, it's a holiday season. We're wrapping up the year at the same time, and all mm-hmm. these holidays kind of clumped in at the end of the year: Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Christmas, New Year's, all these things. Mm-hmm. Well. It got me thinking, what are our top five holidays? What are your favorite holidays? And since Melissa is our guest and a ladies first, Melissa, if you wouldn't mind kind of kicking this off, what are your top five holidays?
Okay, top five holidays in order. Now, I went with major ones because, well, you know, they're the major holidays.
Sure.
But so Thanksgiving, then Christmas, then New Year's. Yes, they go in calendar order.
Okay.
Deal with it.
Okay.
Then St. Patrick's Day and Halloween.
Oh, okay. Oh, nice. Nice. Is there, because it seems like a lot of those involve, you know, celebrating. Is that mm-hmm. a big part of it for you?
Honestly, the biggest part of it is family.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's all usually have, for me, a lot of family involved.
Mm-hmm.
New Year's hits the top because it was my brother Andy's birthday.
Oh,
cool. And so fun. It has some nostalgia for me. We lost my brother in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And so while it's a sad day, it's also a day to remember him. And we always try to reach out to each other. The whole family does on that day just to, you know, give even if we're not together, digital hugs, as it were, you know, just a moment to connect and touch base.
Sure. It sounded, and I appreciate so much you sharing that, Melissa. I think that the thing about holidays that brings us the most is nostalgia sometimes and memories.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're not recent memories, it was 20 years ago, it can still hold so true to that day. I think there's a little bit of that in what you're saying. That's pretty cool to hear. I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, and then St. Patrick's Day is you know, green, and I love the color green.
Okay, that was my next question. Why does St. Patrick's Day seem like the oddball in there? Yeah.
Okay, real quick, I had a question for both of you. Is St. Patrick's Day a major holiday?
Huh.
Because Mel said they were kind of major ones, but all the other four, she said, yeah, those are big. Everyone celebrates. But I don't know. I don't know if I consider that personally a big holiday. Well, apparently Melissa does.
I would put it right there. Like, if it's not a major holiday, right at the
cusp. On the line. Okay.
Like, right on the line. Okay. If it isn't, mm-hmm. it should be. Or it will be if it is. Or I would say it is in, like, especially certain areas.
Okay. You know,
where I'm from, like, we're in Chicago, it's a huge holiday.
Oh, yes.
Like,
they turn the river green.
You might get in trouble with this podcast playing there in Chicago, like, even at the point. I don't know.
Oh, that Mayor Daley, I tell you.
It was really big in La Crosse, too, which is close to where I grew up. And and I don't know, we made a big deal out of it in school. Everybody wore green.
That's cool.
You know, the Kish me, I'm Irish.
Yes, yes.
The one day of the week, or the one day of the year.
I had no green growing up, and I bought a green shirt one year just so I wouldn't get pinched anymore.
That's a weird custom, by
it is
the way.
Weird,
that's very
it is
strange.
Weird. It is weird.
I think so, anyway.
Those are great, Melissa. Thank you so much for those. Seth,
Then Halloween candy. I mean, need more.
Oh.
And dressing up. Actually, that's bigger for me. The dressing
costumes
up part
are always fun.
Than the candy. But,
yeah.
That's interesting. That was my question was going to be what it was about Halloween. Was it the dressing up or the candy or the celebrating? That's a good answer.
Yeah, very nice. I guess I'll accept those.
How does it look to your list, Seth?
Oh, okay. Like? Now I got to do it. You know, I had trouble with this. I honestly did because I'm like, I have so much baggage with so many, you know, holidays. Mm. I'm trying to find ones that don't have something that I can say. So, I mean, it's almost more that I list the ones I don't like.
Right.
But then the ones that are really big. At this point, I think Halloween is number one for me.
Okay.
Because like Melissa, I love the dressing up and the candy, but more the decorating. I love putting up, you know, the spooky stuff. That's for whatever reason, I just get a thrill out of it. Plus, if I ever throw parties, the my favorite parties to throw are Halloween.
Oh.
Because then you can do like fun games and stuff that you probably wouldn't do at normal parties.
Yes.
Those are things you can get away with other things kind of stuff. That's probably why I like Halloween so much.
That's a good
one. I think number two is Thanksgiving. Because it's simple.
Oh.
It's just a meal. You know, basically, you know, it's people getting together, having a meal, and that's it. And then you just chat or watch TV or whatever, something like that.
I love that.
There's not as much ritual as there is with Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Christmas is still on the list. It's going down, though.
Oh?
I have to be very specific about why it's going down. I think it's number three on my list. But if you are married to a pastor... Christmas is very different.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I suppose.
And because there's so much time that's spent doing other things than stuff for, you know, getting ready for your own family stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, forget Christmas Eve.
Oh, yeah.
You can't
do
anything on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, I imagine.
Because I like for instance, this year, two services, one at 4, one at 7. So our whole evening is at church, you know, so we're doing that the whole time. And then, you know, if we're trying to have a meal or anything, there's no time to do it. So that's why I have a little different perspective on it because of what Beth does.
Understandable.
And so there's.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I get frustrated because, you know, I can't, you know, we can't do more things just the, you know, the family part of it together.
Yeah.
And because we live far away from the rest of our family, my parents, her dad,
that's right.
My sister is a little bit closer, but again, it's still not easy to, you know, get together all the time for stuff. So
for many of us, especially somebody like me that hasn't been around a lot of that, it's nice insight into that world and a little more empathy towards the people that do that for a living. I will say it also gives you a built-in excuse. I can't come and see. Oh, I wanted to come and
That's
see the
true.
New baby. Yeah. I wanted to come and see. I can't. You know, my hands are tied. So sorry.
Very good point. Very good point. Moving on. The 4th of July is probably number four.
Nice.
And that's because it's one of those days where everyone seems to, if it's, you know, the weather's good, everyone spends the whole day outside.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. Plus, we do at the church, we have a thing that we do. You know, we have for the fireworks and everything, we sell bratwurst and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I love doing things like that, where we get to, you know, have people come up and give, you know, and sell food and stuff. I love doing that. So that's part of the reason why I really like the 4th of July.
It's a good one.
Yeah, a summer celebration.
Summer ones are always better. And that's like the big summer one. There's really not a bunch of other ones in summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's unless you're just going to have like a summer party kind of thing. But the 4th seems to be the big day for in the summer for parties. New Year's long ago lost its charm for me. I used to work at a convention center, and a local hospital had their big fundraiser there every year. And they took over the entire thing. And when you're running the bar department on a night like that, it's insane. I'm there till like 4 a.m. kind of thing. That really took the fun out of New Year for me because I did it many years in a row. So it's like, I'll stay up and you know, all right, we'll do the countdown, and then I'll kiss Beth, and then, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
I'm done. I don't need any more.
12:01.
So, I don't drink anything, so it's like, that's pointless, too. So. But I'll put it on the list just because there are certain things. If I can get together with friends and play games and stuff, that is fun. Yeah. That is fun. I can handle that.
Yeah, I would say similar to you, Seth. When I was in the band, New Year's Eve was not as fun of a holiday because it was mostly work and a lot of intoxicated people that didn't include me. But it's come back. I like it now because I get to spend time with friends.
Yeah, that's always the better. Just small gatherings, yeah.
Was that your five? Or did you give us five?
Yep, that was my five. Yep.
So, okay. Those are both great lists. They're both wrong, but they're both great lists. No, I'm joking. Obviously, there's no wrong answers to this. You could have said Arbor Day number five, Arbor Day number
four, Arbor Day number three. As a matter of fact, Arbor Day is,
Nice. Looking at my top five, I've got New Year's Eve at number five.
Okay.
In part, really because of nostalgia. I would say once I turned 21, like all of you and everybody else listening, you know, you go to the bars or you do things like that. Drinking becomes a little more of play. I've had some good ones there. Mm-hmm. But when I first moved here and it became, you know, met my best friend, Chris, we were, you know, in junior high, or I mean, in grade school and then junior high. And those first like 6-7 New Year's we spent together were always the same. We just got together, watched movies, hung out, got to stay up later than we usually got to. You know, maybe watch the ball drop or something. Watched movies that we were too young to watch. You know, and it was really where we built our friendship. Those early days.
Very nice.
And when I there's never going to be a New Year's, I don't think that I'm not going to immediately get brought back to those days.
Mm-hmm.
Modern day New Year's Eve, very late, low key for me. Still like seeing friends and doing everything, and I love the idea that we're all almost on the same page, reviewing the past year, looking towards the next year to make it better. There's something about that as a world, as a society, kind of like, not world, but as a country, kind of puts us all on the same page that I think is kind of cool. It reminds me almost like of the Olympics, sort of, in a way.
It's like a built-in fresh start for everybody. Yeah.
Number four, 4th of July and Cinco de Mayo. That is a tie. I do love the 4th of July for all the things you guys were touching on. And certainly it being a summer holiday and that. I'm a big fan of our country, so really like that part of it. Cinco de Mayo has a little bit more of an interesting thing. One, I grew up around a lot of Mexicans growing up. Mm-hmm. And it's just the day was always a very special day to me and my family because the way we were incorporated into these other families. And what it means for Mexico, a sister country of ours.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you know the story of Cinco de Mayo, it is, you know, it's David and Goliath. It's everything that you could ask for as far as a war story goes, as far as a David and Goliath and everything. And I think there's something that everybody can pull from that.
Mm-hmm.
But really, all this is really, you know, means nothing because my oldest daughter was born on Cinco de Mayo.
Oh.
Bria was born on Cinco de Mayo.
Well, that makes it special.
And my little brother was born just a couple of days after Cinco de Mayo. Oh, so that's really where a lot of that stems from.
Very nice.
Number three on my list is Rosh Hashanah. And for my Gentile friends out there, Rosh Hashanah is the beginning, essentially the Jewish New Year.
Yes.
It's the beginning of the New Year. And again, very similar things to what I was saying before.
Mm-hmm.
What it means in my family and the nostalgia, a lot of that. And just liking the starting over kind of thing. I love the idea of, you know, not trying to skate past the past year, but just saying, okay, it had its place. Now I'm moving on. For better or for worse, the good stuff, the bad stuff. Today is a new day.
Yep.
Number two on my list, Hanukkah.
Hanukkah.
Come on. How can I not, right? I mean, Hanukkah is such a fun holiday. It's one where it's one of the few Jewish holidays that everybody knows about. So,
true.
That means something, but it's... I was just lighting the candles yesterday with my mom and hit over the head with nostalgia again.
Wow.
About with my brother, my sister, and all of us doing this as kids. But it's always been like, I don't have a lot of things to bring out the faith in me, the spiritual in me. And I have all the respect in the world for people that do have those things. I don't know what's wrong with my brain and my heart. I just am too scientific. I've never really been able to match faith, like the faith in my family, to that kind of thing. But I do love what it can do for others and what it brings out in others and what it tends to bring out in me. And Hanukkah is one of those ones where, just similar to Cinco de Mayo, I think everybody can pull from that story and take something to, you know, go, to take to the bank with.
You know, I think I think Hanukkah might be moving up in my holiday thing because there's no attachment. I don't have to worry about the church stuff. I could just look, have fun with Hanukkah.
Yeah, you say a little prayer, light some candles, boom. You
there
know,
you
you're done.
Have some latkes. You know.
Yes, yes. You hug your mother, and then you're done. And number one on my list, Arbor Day. No, it is Halloween, of course.
Halloween.
Of course, Halloween. If you've listened to me 5 seconds, you know how much I love Halloween. For all the reasons you guys said, if I could just throw in there as well, I love holidays that everybody's involved. Kids, parents, single people, married people, like everybody can have a piece in Halloween and enjoy a part of it. There's a little part of me that cringes a little the more and more we go along. It seems like adults are stealing it from kids. But I do think that at this point, it's still kind of 50-50, really, okay. and really a holiday for everybody.
Right.
Well, and I don't think we can completely steal it from kids because they pull off the costumes so much better than the adults do,
they
hands
do.
Down.
So they look so much cuter, too.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
I'm telling
right.
you, kids,
very,
they got it.
Very.
I find it there's a couple of observations that I just had here. One, three of us, Halloween, pretty high on the list.
Yep.
Theater people, not a surprise at all.
No.
Theater people like to dress up. That's one of the reasons why we do it, right?
Yes.
So getting a chance to put on costumes, we will always do it. And the other thing is here, no one mentioned Valentine's Day. And again, that does not surprise me.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even think of that. Oh.
Because, again, I think about, you know, the history, you know, like you and Melissa have had with relationships and everything.
Yeah.
Thankfully, you're both in very good ones now, which is very cool, and I celebrate that with both of you. But, I mean, I was there, too, at one point. The single guy, you know, it's Valentine's Day seems to be mocking single people, you know?
It really does.
And I don't think...
Have you ever met anybody who likes Valentine's Day, though? Really?
Maybe you're right. I really haven't. Yeah, that's such a good point. I hadn't even thought about that.
I mean, maybe little kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because they get candy randomly.
They do get some more candy. True. Anytime candy is good, right? But man, you're so right. I've never heard anyone say, Valentine's Day is my favorite holiday.
Yeah, that's really strong
point. The only good thing about it is chocolate.
Truth.
The darker, the better.
I do immediately. I cringed though with you when you guys were talking about kids may enjoy it, because I remember everybody, you know, making cards. And my mailbox, my Valentine's box being very dead. Very dead. Because usually I was a new kid in school. I was a new kid in class.
You
yeah, nobody knew me. So they didn't even know to make cards for me or anything like that. That's a good one. The fact that I think all three of us had Halloween as our number one.
Yeah.
Melissa, did you have Halloween at number one?
No, I had it at 5. Because
oh, you did
I
have 5.
Yes,
you did.
The order you guys did. But... that's okay. It was still in my top 5.
Exactly.
Halloween, and that kind of leads me, segue into a strange holiday movies.
Okay.
And my favorite holiday movie, period, has always been Nightmare Before Christmas. Tends to be a little bit of a more oddball choice. Not your traditional Christmas movie or anything like that. There's some people that would push back on it even being a Christmas movie. so we'll use that as a segue into our next segment. We'll take a break right here, and we'll get into, when we come back, fun holiday movies.
Right here on Director's Cut.
The D3s.
D3 right in the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The Throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and one.
The thrilling victories.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Takes the three, sidesteps left for three, and the lead. He had it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner, three. Got it again!
Welcome back to Director's Cut, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. We were talking about best Christmas movies of the 2000s, best old school movies. That's kind of where we're going to go now. And this comes to us thanks to our friends at Yahoo.com. They came out with a list of the, to get you in the holiday spirit, the best movies, Christmas movies of the 2000s. And this kind of got this ball rolling in my head.
Sure, yeah.
Me going down this rabbit hole. So looking at this list, the number 10 movie they have is An Arthur Christmas from 2011.
Okay.
Haven't seen that one, but Arthur was a very popular character.
The cartoon, I'm guessing.
I think
Arthur,
so, yeah.
Yes.
Although, I would love it if there was an Arthur Christmas movie with Dudley Moore and Liza Minnelli. I would tell you, I love Christmas. It's a beautiful time of year. I say, what day is it, actually? Is it really? How about, maybe we missed something there when he was alive.
Yeah.
Dudley Moore as Scrooge.
That would have been a fascinating study.
But yes. Playing Arthur, like basically playing Arthur, but as Scrooge. Like, oh, man. Way to go, Hollywood. You missed that one.
Missed the boat on that
one.
That would have been good.
Number 9 is The Night Before from 2015. I'm not familiar with that one.
Me neither. Nope.
I am with number 8, A Very Harold and Kumar Christmas from 2011. Geez. Yeah. Kind of funny. That was pretty funny. It was pretty good. Doogie, before he is a household name again,
yep.
Neil Patrick Harris
yep.
was in that. And this is before like How I Met Your Mother and all
that
and everything.
Right, yeah.
So he was kind of building his star back a little bit. And he plays himself in it, and it's hilarious. Man, that guy is talented.
Use something.
Number 7, Serendipity from 2001.
I've never seen it, but I know a little bit about it. It's one of those, they kind of flip the whole romantic meet cute thing on the head where they keep missing each other kind of thing until the very end. So I heard that's very popular around this time of year, though.
I know it stars my boy John Cusack, and I believe Catherine Zeta-Jones. I think Billy Crystal's in it as well. I haven't seen it probably since, 01 or anything.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Number 6 on the list, Bad Santa from 2003.
Again, another one I haven't seen, but I've heard that's pretty good.
It was okay. I didn't think it was that bad. It also felt like an excuse to see Santa swear. Like, that's kind of what it felt like.
And drink.
Yes.
And not, we see drunk Santas in a lot of movies, but maybe just to excuse it that time, right?
It that's a good point. We've seen drunk Santas. I don't think we've seen drunk Santa as the lead.
No, we have not. It's obviously
Billy Bob Thornton. It's Billy Bob Thornton doing what Billy Bob Thornton does in movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Number 5 on the list, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang from 2005.
Which you mentioned just a little bit earlier. That was an interesting one because I remember that was when Robert Downey Jr. was coming on the comeback trail.
Yeah.
And Val Kilmer was kind of easing towards retirement, I guess, because he's not really been, since then, he's been really quiet. He's just haven't done much.
It was part of the reason why I remember being excited to rent the movie because I'm old and I rented the movie.
Right.
that's what we used to have to do, kids.
Yeah, exactly.
And I love both those actors so much. Mm-hmm. And again, this is before Iron Man, as Seth said. This is Val Kilmer kind of seeing the end of the light at the end of the tunnel here a little bit and going into it knowing but not knowing those things as a young actor. I came out of it realizing, I have to really appreciate Val Kilmer here.
Yes.
And I am so thankful that Robert Downey Jr. got this second break. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that Iron Man and Sherlock Holmes, nobody had any idea all that stuff
was
coming.
Explode, but
I was just excited to see one of my favorite actors again.
Yep.
That movie will always be special to me, I think, because of both of those kind of storylines that really weren't in the movie, but they were outside
the
of the
two
movie.
Different trajectories that the actors were on. It's very interesting at that time and place.
Well put. Number 4 in the list, The Christmas Chronicles from 2018, a more recent movie. I have not seen that one.
That's familiar. I wonder, do you have anything about who's in it? Because I'm like, I can't. It sounds familiar, but I can't remember if I've actually seen it or not.
It does sound
if it's like a Disney thing or something like that. But, oh, man, it's driving me crazy.
The Christmas, I feel like it should be right on the tip of my tongue, or the actors at least should
be. Okay, right.
Yep, that's what it is. So this is the one with Kurt Russell as Santa.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay, I haven't seen it, but I remember seeing about it. Yeah.
It's got Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn. So it's got Mr. and
Mrs.
Claus.
That would be one worth seeing just to see those two together.
I'm mad at myself I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Now that I'm remembering it and everything.
Because
those two are two of my favorites, and anytime you get to see them work, I still watch Overboard. I'll see if I see it on TV, I'll still watch it, because I love those two.
Yeah, you're the only one.
Pretty much, yes. Number three on the list, The Holiday from 2006.
The Holiday. I'm not familiar with that one.
Mm-mm. No, and it's so weird between the two of us to come across movies that we haven't seen or unfamiliar with.
I don't watch a lot of Christmas movies. That's the same. I've got the old Standby, which we'll be getting to in a second. You know, those ones I love. I watch them every year kind of thing. But the newer ones, I don't know. A lot of them I just, eh.
I have only two blind spots when it comes to this field, and it is sometimes Christmas movies and a lot of rom-coms. Like, I have not seen a lot of those. And that leads me to number two on the list, Love Actually, from 2003.
This is a film that apparently has gained a large cult following since it came out, because I don't remember it being a huge hit when it came out in 2003, but since then... Are you kidding me? I mean, this is like a thing that people, we got to watch it every year kind of thing. Again, great cast. An amazing cast.
Just Hugh Grant, Colin Firth, Emma Thompson, Liam Neeson, Keira Knightley, Alan Rickman. One of the most eclectic cast. Bill Nighy. Martin Freeman, I should mention. Andrew Lincoln. It was where I found out about Andrew Lincoln.
That's right, yeah.
Really fell in love with him after that.
Yep.
You got Mr. Bean in there. Rowan Atkinson's in it as well. Billy Bob Thornton's in this one, too. Forgot about that.
Oh, who knew?
All these actors, incredibly good in this. I really loved Andrew Lincoln's performance. But if you are even a slight fan of Mr. Bill Nighy, it is one of his greatest performances.
Just celebrated a birthday recently. Yeah.
It's not only one of his greatest performances, you've never gotten to see him have fun like this as an actor. He's playing a kind of has-been sort of, a guy who had one big hit, and he's kind of still hoping to have that one more hit, even though he's like 40 years older and stuff. And God, he plays it so good. He's so good of an actor.
One of those really brilliant character actors that we don't appreciate enough.
It really speaks to a lot of what we're talking here, or what we were talking about before, about that sub with Bria, that kind of Laura Linney's in it too. I just remembered. Laura Linney.
Another fabulous actor.
I had to mention her.
Yeah.
This kind of subcategory of Christmas movies and then kind of Christmas themed movies and these differences. Yeah. I think Love Actually falls into that. You bring up a great point about the cult following of that movie.
Yeah.
It's one of the strangest things in the game. I couldn't sit there and say, hey, I'm going to create a cult following movie.
No, you can't.
Nobody could do that.
If people have tried and they have failed, it has not worked.
Badly. Yes. I believe, if I heard right, that was something they were hoping with Cats, the most recent version of Cats. And no. No.
The only way it will get watched is for ironic reasons. That's the only reason that thing is going to be watched again.
I was joking with a friend of mine who was asking me if I'd seen it. The only way I'll see that movie is when Mystery Science Theater does it.
I believe Riff Trax did it.
Oh, did they?
Because they were forced to. They didn't want to do it, but they had like a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And they said, if we get to this level, we're going to do Cats. And they got to that level and they're like, we really didn't want to do this, but all right, you guys want us to do it. So they did it. So you should check it out. I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm guessing it would make at least the movie watchable.
At least watchable.
Yeah.
I want to watch every single one of those, let alone that one. I have to see that one. And number one on the list, Elf from 2003. I think we kind of saw this one coming.
That one makes sense. Not only was it a big hit when it came out, it has spawned a musical. It has spawned an animated special. It has spawned, there's references to Elf all over the place, which is interesting. So I saw Elf for the first time last year. I hadn't watched it yet.
Mm.
And the casting was for the most part good. I remember telling you about this after I watched it. I thought James Caan was woefully miscast in that.
Yeah,
they should have gotten someone else. But Will Ferrell is brilliant. And this is coming from not a big Will Ferrell fan. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of his, but he did a great job as Buddy. Zooey Deschanel did a great job as that. Plus, Ed Asner is Santa.
Thank you.
The late lamented Ed Asner. Oh.
I should mention Peter Dinklage has a wonderful little guest spot in this.
Yes, he does. I forgot about that.
Which he had, apparently he had so much fun doing and was so thankful to have the opportunity because this is, again, before Game of Thrones and everything. And it was a chance for him to play somebody of dwarfism. But, you know, they were able to bring up things that they weren't talking about in movies very often.
No, especially back then, yeah.
And it needs to be mentioned also Bob Newhart. Such a wonderful job by him. Mary Sternberger did a great job too. Amy Sedaris had a nice part in there too.
Yep.
I even though it was, I agree with you about the casting of James Caan, I really I liked being as selfishly as a big James Caan fan.
Right.
I like getting to see him in that role because we just didn't get to see him very often.
That's true.
He smiles in that movie.
You know,
like,
maybe that's what it was. It's so weird to see him
maybe
smile.
That is it. Yeah. One of our I think guys like us, Seth, one of our favorites kind of guys, not to speak for you.
Yeah.
But just not an undersold actor at many times in his career.
Even though he was a big star for a while. I think you're right. I don't think anyone really took him as seriously as they could have and probably should have.
And now especially,
yeah.
You know, it just kind of look back at, you know, whether it's Bob Newhart, Ed Asner, him. When we lose people and I see them in movies again, I have a new appreciation
for sure
of their work and their skill and their talent. And of course, those two had that in tons.
Yes, like, in spades. Yep.
So that is a pretty cool list. And I think a pretty fun list and everything. But now I want to go old school. I want to talk about movies that came out not only when we were kids, but long before you and I were even born.
Before we get to that, I have to get something off my chest. And I already told James about this one. So I have to bring it out because I saw this on a different list of movies from the 2000s. Because I wanted to do a little research before we did this. One of the movies they listed on this specific list was Christmas with the Cranks.
Oh boy.
And I can't tell you how wrong they are. That is a horrible movie.
Yeah.
I am going to avoid it at all costs. It has nothing to do with the cast. Tim Allen, Dan Aykroyd, people I like, actors I enjoy, were in it. It's, and I'm going to explain it to people because I don't want you to go out and see it.
Yes, please.
Basically, it's a couple who are famous for their Christmas party every year. You know, they invite the whole neighborhood. They decorate the house to the ninth degree, and they invite everyone over. It's a tradition. Now, their daughter's gone. She's out of the house. They're older, and they're like, well, she's gone. Why do we need to hang around here? Let's go to the Bahamas for Christmas. Let's do some tropical place, right?
Yeah.
And so they get ready to do this. When word gets out, their neighbors are like horrified that they want to go somewhere else.
Hmm.
And I'm like, okay, what's this? So it's weird because that's the first half of the movie. But then in the second half, it shifts gear completely. And it is like a love letter to conformism.
Oh, wow.
It's like, no, you have to do this. Mm. You have to be this person that you've always been. You cannot change. Mm. You cannot grow. And I'm like, they kind of tack on like a happy ending. Oh, the daughter comes back and, you know, oh, it's all wonderful Christmas. No, it's not.
No,
this is horrifying.
It really does sound bad.
My heart was not warmed. I'm like, get out of there. Get as fast as you can. So please do not subject yourself to that. They try to make it sound like a good. It's not. No it's not.
No, that,
fact that they accept it in the end, like with no real argument.
Yeah, that is really, that's
bizarre,
a little
man.
Dangerous, actually. That sounds a little tense.
So anyway, I had to get that off my chest.
As the king of jumping on the soapbox, let me say, you're good. You're good. When we talk about old school Christmas movies, I'm pretty sure we're not alone in this, you know, Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street, some of those kind of movies. Are there any that you can think of, you know, outside of those, that perimeter?
Yes. The movie that Beth and I watch every year is White Christmas, which is I think most people have seen it now, but it's a classic from the 50s. It's got Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye, Rosemary Clooney, Vera Ellen is the other lady in there. It's a song and dance. All the songs are by Irving Berlin, which is good. Some of them are old ones, but he also wrote some new ones for the movie. This is interesting. It's directed by Michael Curtiz, who was also the man who directed Casablanca and several other classic movies. He was one of those guys that could direct basically any film.
Yes.
And it's so much fun. It's got a lot of great humor in it, a lot of great songs, tons of great dancing in it. If you like Hollywood dancing, this movie has got it, and just in super. I mean, you get some of the best dancers you've ever seen in your life on this thing.
Yeah.
Plus, it's got the story is kind of, I'll admit it, it's kind of hokey.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the greatest story, but Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye together, I mean, come on.
It's one of the better
singing
combos.
Together, doing comedy together. They had so much fun. Later on, Bing Crosby said that he laughed more on this set than he ever did on the movies he did with Bob Hope because of Danny Kaye.
Wow.
That's how much he loved working.
That is really a statement. That's pretty cool. I'm glad you brought up Michael Kurtz, too.
Yes.
I don't feel like his name gets mentioned nearly enough. And I don't know many directors that have an IMDb so much variety
yes.
as he did. And not just the variety. It's one thing to do these movies. Mm-hmm. It's another to hit after hit, mm-hmm. like in different genres. That's right. So impressive.
And I think part of that stems from he had the reputation of being very hard on his actors. Mm-hmm. He was very strict. He was very one of these kind of directors. And that can play into, you know, your after reputation, right? It happens.
Yeah,
it really does.
Yeah.
But some of the work, I mean, Casablanca speaks for itself. It's
yes.
probably one of the greatest movies ever made.
Easily.
And all these other ones, and one of my favorites, like White Christmas. So, yeah.
And then there's some I don't know, not necessarily old school, but movies that you know, came out not in the 2000s or maybe a little bit in the late 90s or 80s or what have you.
Right.
I mentioned A Nightmare Before Christmas earlier as mm-hmm. one of my favorites. I think a lot of the cartoon specials, the Charlie Brown Christmas, the mm-hmm. How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Jack Frost,
yes, or the all those Rankin and Bass claymation ones, the Rudolph and Santa Claus Is Coming to Town, where they got some great voice performances. They got Fred Astaire, mm-hmm. Burl Ives. I mean, some of the great voice acting in those, too.
Jimmy Durante
and Frosty, yep.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. Frosty the Snowman was yep. the other one. I wanted to mention there. Then there's those movies that kind of hit that fringe, like Home Alone or A Christmas Story. Christmas Story is certainly one of the more celebrated cult movies, really.
Boy, talk about a cult movie, yeah.
Yeah. How many people have one of those leg lamps, you know? Like, who would have thought that was going to be popular out of that one or anything? The Red Rifle, you know,
the Red Rider, which, by the way, I got one of those when I was a kid as a Christmas present.
Nice.
A BB gun, a Red Rider BB gun. I did.
And we mentioned some others already, but I think another one that has to be mentioned is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. it was really one of the first movies that gave you hey, not every family is perfect. You know,
true.
It showed a little bit of a light, kind of Married with Children for the movie world, where we're getting away from more and more of, hey, not every family's perfect. And mm-hmm. this idea of the old 40s, 50s way of doing it, like, oh, we can only show perfect families on TV.
Yeah, right.
We're getting away from that more. And
yeah.
I think that was important. Representation matters. And I think if, you know, nobody came from a perfect family. So it was nice. It was helpful.
That's right. I've never watched it all the way through. I've seen bits and pieces, chunks of it.
Yeah.
Just because it's not really, that humor is not really my cup of tea, but I understand where it is in the pantheon. It's a classic that people really love around this time of year. For that time period, it's actually where my favorite Christmas Carol adaptation comes from.
Ooh.
It was a TV movie, I guess, from 1984. It's the one with George C. Scott. And for my money, George C. Scott is the best Scrooge ever.
Easily.
First of all, one of my all-time favorite actors. He was so good in everything he was in.
Gosh.
But the way he plays Scrooge, he really, especially at the beginning, he hit the grumpy Scrooge like spot on. He did it better than I think anyone has done it before. And he did a good job with the happy Scrooge too.
Yes.
But the one before, totally believable that this guy is this awful, grasping person.
I in high school, I watched Patton and that back to back.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm such a big George Scott fan. And man, I did something similar with James Cagney, where I watched Yankee Doodle Dandy and Public Enemy because it just speaks, you really get an idea of how good these guys are, how
exactly.
talented these actors are when you do that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows how crazy I am. honorable mention I want to get in really quick.
Okay.
Scrooged. One of my all-time favorites.
Christmas Carol adaptation, yep.
My best friend and I went and saw this in the theater.
Oh,
and,
wow.
God, it was so good. Of course, Bill Murray. But the cast is undersold. First, Karen Allen doesn't get a lot of credit as a good actress, and she was so good.
Karen Allen was awesome.
She really was. But the great Carol Kane, I have to mention.
Another great one.
Alfre Woodard, also in that one, is John Forsythe, John Glover. Robert Meacham is in it. Brian Doyle Murray, John Murray. There's so many great people in that movie.
Yep.
Just a great one. I have to mention that one as well. Just a good one to fit
Another
in.
One that's become a very much a cult classic in the years since it came out. So, I think we've exhausted that topic.
I think
we got through that one. Thanks for joining us, everyone, for Director's Cut.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Haven't been checking out Director's Cut lately? Well, here's some of the guests you may have missed.
Local legend from Four on the Floor, musical magician, one of my favorites, Pete Ravelle. Michael Charles, Chicago Blues Hall of Fame, a man who has played with Buddy Guy. Bria Krieger, joining us, a local artist.
To welcome to the WFHR stage, the legends, the lizards themselves.
Best-selling author, Mystery Science Theater 3000 legend, Midwest's own Mary Jo Peel.
Director's Cut, every Sunday night from 8 to 9 on Locally Grown Radio.
With Central Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the upper teens, sunny, low 30s for New Year's Day, mostly clear and breezy Monday night with a low near 22. For Tuesday, partly sunny, breezy, 33. On your Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high around 31 degrees.
Right now, it's 28.
Welcome back, everyone, to Director's Cut. James and Seth with you here, and we're just going to do a quick introduction to the audio production you're going to be hearing in just moments away. This is actually something we did quite a while ago, but we never found a good time or place to put it anywhere. We knew we were going to use it for something, and then when this came around, when we got the okay to do Director's Cut, we're like, perfect.
Yes.
This is the perfect place to showcase this. Hopefully, this is the first of a few. We are very excited to do this. Shout out to Melissa Kay, who was kind of the mastermind. She picked the show. James and I played some parts in it, but this is her. She put all the production, the music, sound effects into it. She did a lot of work, and I'm so glad we're finally going to be able to do this.
This is for fun. It's a silly little thing that we did. Don't, you know, dissect it too heavily. But I do want to give credit to you and Melissa for especially what Melissa did, where she took it seriously. Even though we were trying to have fun with it, she took it to heart, worked really hard on the production, and putting up with Seth and I even longer than she normally has to.
Which is a chore, ladies and gentlemen.
Really,
that is very much a chore. So what the show is called ArtNet, for those of you who remember the old TV show and radio show Dragnet. Of course, Jack Webb playing Joe Friday, and of course famous for his kind of monotone narration. Just the facts, ma'am. And so I get to play that character. I'm really excited because that's a show I really enjoyed. And so I've listened to a few of the old radio shows, and I think we got a good, but I got to give James a shout out here. He plays a bunch of the characters in it, and oh man, you did a great, it's funny. I was listening to you just a little bit before we were doing this, and it was, I was laughing out loud because it'd been so long since we've done it. I forgot about, you know, all the jokes and stuff in it.
I'm looking forward to listening to it as a fan. I don't remember so much of it. So,
So hopefully this will just be the start.
Yes.
James and I and Melissa are all looking to, and we're going to want to bring other people in on this. We know lots of actors that we were like, hey, don't have time to do a show at a WRCT, come and have some fun with us.
We like to remind everybody that we're taking recommendations. If there's music, a book, a movie you want us to review or talk about, please let us know. And that goes for as well as if there's a play you'd like us to do, or if there's, you know, you'd like to be a part of, please let us know.
Yes, because we'd love to do it. For me, it's a passion. I love audio drama of any kind. This is something, a lifelong love of for me. So I certainly want to keep doing this. So and we also want to let us know how you think about it. You know, give us some feedback. We would love to know if it's something you want to hear more of, because we can certainly do that.
This will take us to the end of the hour and wrap up this session for us. So the credits are rolling, the band is playing, it is time for us to wrap up the show.
It is indeed. So stay tuned for that. That's going to be the wrap up of this show for Director's Cut. Thanks everybody for joining us today. We'll see you again next week, and have a good one out there, everyone.
The story you're about to hear is true. Only the colors have been changed to protect the artists.
This is the art world. My name is Frida, Joe Frida. I carry a brush. 3:45 a.m. I was at Hopper's Nighthawks Diner investigating a 419, the legal implication of despair and gloom on a perfectly nice evening. That's when the call came in. A 232, missing artist model. I headed straight for the station. Morning, Chief.
Joe! I didn't realize you were done with your narration.
I was at 1247 Vincent on a 419 at 347 when I got the 232. I did a 180 and 1060 back here on the double.
Why is it I always need a calculator to talk to you?
What's this about an artist model?
Well, it's a guy named Da Vinci. He had a date with some girl to paint a picture and she never showed. He's concerned.
Thinks he might have been kidnapped?
Worse.
Murdered?
Worse. He thinks she's modeling for someone else.
What's the girl's name?
Lisa. Mona Lisa.
Men have named her?
Yeah, she's so like the lady with the mystic smile.
Is it only because she's lonely that they blame her for the strangeness in her smile?
That I can't really tell you, Joe.
Any distinguishing characteristics?
Just the mouth. She never stops smiling.
8:22 a.m. I headed out. Thought I'd canvass the neighborhood. I was driving and thinking. Thinking and driving. Thinking. 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 Forgot about driving. Almost plowed into a little nun taking a group of orphans to the museum. She tells me her name is Sister Wendy. I arrest them on a 309, jaywalking. As I filled out the paperwork, I noticed a young man painting in the park across the street. He looked suspicious. I gave the nun the brush off, told her to get her own PBS show, and hightail it over to the suspect. Morning, sir. Mind if I ask what you're doing with the easel and paints?
Merde, mon andour.
I don't speak French. Is that yes or no?
I keep trying to paint these stupid toads and frogs, but they keep leaping all over the stupid pond.
Just frogs and toads you're trying to paint? No young women?
Did you see any young women? I would kill for a human model. Then I could tell them to sit still. Look at this toad.
No, thank you. What's your name, sir?
Claude Monet. The big frog painting failure, Monet.
Here's my card. If you see a woman modeling around here, always smiling, call me immediately.
But how am I supposed to capture the way the light plays over the slimy skin of these toads when they keep moving?
Try the lily pads.
What?
The water lilies. They hold still. Paint the water lilies.
Mon Dieu! Brilliance!
I think you'll make a great impression. 9:36 a.m. I drove on. I'd heard of a new guy in town. Crazy man. But crazy enough to steal another artist's model? I had to find out.
Yes?
Mr. Dolly?
Yes.
Joe Frieda, Art Squad. May I come in? 9:37 a.m. I entered the suspect's studio.
Who is it that you are talking to?
9:38 a.m. I realized I'm narrating out loud again.
That's a nice watch you keep looking at.
9:39 a.m. I take off my watch, set it down, and begin questioning. I'm looking for a female model named Lisa. Have you seen her?
Seen? Felt? It is a crime merely to lobster. Ant.
I'm just after the fact, sir.
The egg cracks the world within.
Just the facts.
From one woman springs a mountain.
The facts.
Facts, smacks. The dogs are howling.
If you don't stick to the facts, I'll have to take you in a 106.
What is that?
Inordinate surrealism.
I don't use models. Who needs models when you have dreams?
Some people have dreams of models.
Some people are the models of dreams.
Some models are dream people.
Some dreams model people.
I think I have to leave. My head is about to explode.
Ooh, what? Your watch?
My watch is a Timex. It doesn't explode. Takes a licking.
Your watch is melting.
I repeat, my watch is a Timex. It doesn't melt.
This one does. Look.
Oh, dear.
You set it on the radiator, and it is melting. Look at it oozing down the side of the metal like time itself slipping into the past and future simultaneously.
That's a Timex. It's not supposed to happen.
It is the most glorious thing I have ever seen. I must paint it immediately.
I'll get a bucket first. Note to self, call Timex with new slogan. Takes a warming and starts deforming. 11:45 a.m. Approximately. I no longer have any idea what time it is. I left Dolly's place, headed to the studio of the other new guy in town, someone who might not know it's not kosher to steal another artist's models.
Hey.
Mr. Warhol, Joe Frieda, Art Squad. Do you mind if I take a look around your studio?
In the future, every studio will be investigated for 15 minutes.
It won't take that long. I'm looking for a model named Lisa.
What an omniscient name. In the future, everyone will be named Lisa for 15 minutes.
Right. Hope you don't mind if I eat and search. I brought my lunch.
In the future, everyone will eat lunch for like 15 minutes.
I don't think you've got any models here.
Why?
I don't think any woman could stand to be in the same room with you for 15 minutes.
I know a woman named Marilyn and one named Jackie.
Lisa. I'm looking for Lisa. What?
Your lunch.
Campbell's tomato soup. I eat it right out of the can. More efficient. Good.
Can I have it?
No. It's my soup. Supposed to mix it with a cup of water, but I like mine thick.
No, to paint. Paint the can, man. Can I have the can, man? Can I?
You can have the can, man. I think I'm beginning to see why some people hate modern art.
In the future, everyone will hate modern art
for 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. I know. Can we just cue the music, please? 12:15 p.m., give or take. I'd lost my lunch. I'd lost my watch. I was losing my mind. I'd painted myself into a corner. I couldn't take any more modernism. I had to find someone who still used models. As I climbed the long set of stairs to the studio, I knew I had to find someone with stability. Someone who played by the rules.
Hello.
Mr. Picasso?
Yes.
Joe Frieda, Art Squad. Sorry to interrupt you. Are you still in your blue period?
Rose. It's all rose now.
I'm seeing red myself. Mind if I come in? It's been a long climb up the stairs.
Actually, I'm a little busy.
What was that?
Nothing.
Pablo, ooey.
Do you have a model in here?
Oh. No, no model here. Fruit. Bowls of fruit and cow skulls. Nothing more.
Am I the fruit or the cow skull?
Hello, ma'am. Joe Frieda, ma'am. Are you posing for this man?
She's not posing. She's posturing.
You said it was a sitting.
Are you Mona Lisa, ma'am?
Who's asking?
Joe Frieda, Art Squad. I thought I made that clear in my introduction.
Well, I'm Mona Lisa. Pleased to meet ya.
Why are you smiling, ma'am?
No reason.
You must have a reason, ma'am.
It's a secret reason.
You can tell me, ma'am. I'm a police detective, ma'am.
I can't tell you. It's a secret.
I share all my thoughts complete with the times I think them. Ask anyone.
Well, that's fine for you, but nobody's ever going to know why I'm smiling.
Fine. You're both coming in for questioning.
What?
A 682 and 593. Theft of another artist's model and refusal to share an inner monologue.
No, I've been framed.
Don't worry. It's not a hanging offense. Step away from the easel and nobody gets hurt.
I can explain.
You can't color the case now, Mr. Picasso. There's no tinting the evidence.
But I...
Down the stairs, both of you.
Quit pushing.
This is all a mistake.
Watch the stairs. Watch the stairs.
Uh-oh.
Mona, are you all right?
Oh, my head feels funny.
Oh, my God.
You said it, Pablo. Ma'am, you're a mess.
No, she's beautiful. Back to my easel, quickly, quickly.
I think I must have broke something.
She's in no condition.
I must paint her now.
Her nose is all smushed over, and her eyes are clumped over to one side of her head. Her hands are misshapen blobs.
She's perfect.
She needs medical attention.
No. If Pablo wants to paint me this way, it'd be an honor.
1:45-ish. I left Picasso and Lisa to their session. This had been a heck of a day, but I had one last stop to make.
Yes?
Mr. Da Vinci?
You must be the police. Where is my girl? Where is my Mona?
That's what I came to see you about. Mona's not coming back. At least not with any realism.
You don't mean...
I'm afraid so. She's gone abstract.
No. What am I going to do now? This was to be my greatest painting.
It still can be. Buck up, sir. I'm sure you'll smile again.
What, like this?
What's so funny?
Nothing. I'm just trying to smile.
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking about trying to smile.
Have you ever seen your smile?
No, not really.
Look in this mirror. You have quite the mysterious smile.
I do, don't I?
You ever consider a self-portrait?
But I'm supposed to paint a woman.
Like I said, you ever considered a self-portrait?
Ah, do you really think... I could?
Don't ask, don't tell, sir.
If you'll excuse me, I have a masterpiece to create.
2:37 p.m. by the bank clock. I went back to the office and filled out the paperwork. Not yet. I didn't get my man or woman, but Monet, Dali, Picasso, and Da Vinci got their paintings. Pretty good day overall. Not yet. If I was going to wrap up the art world today, I'd say, now that it's all over, oil's well that ends well. Now.
You have been listening to ArtNet, a radio stage play written by Eric Cobble, produced and performed by Melissa Kay, Seth Habhager, Tim Young, and James Maylock.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And my electrical was deemed unsafe. And I was about to lose homeowner's insurance as well. I didn't really know where to go in order to get help. And so I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. They've really been a blessing. Operation Homefront is a safety net. A lot of veterans, they fall through the cracks sometimes. And Operation Homefront, they catch us. It's been a blessing to us. It's a blessing to other veteran families. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us and want to see us do well and want to see us succeed. And we feel it and we appreciate that. I would say you guys are angels behind closed doors.
Visit OperationHomefront.org to learn more.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? Wish Caregiver Careers can get you started as a certified direct care professional. You'll learn the skills you need to make life better for older adults or people with a disability. All training is free and online, plus earn $500 in bonuses. Start your new career. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
With Central Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the upper teens, sunny, low 30s for New Year's Day. Mostly clear and breezy Monday night with a low near 22. For Tuesday, partly sunny, breezy, 33. On your Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high around 31 degrees.
Right now, it's 28.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out the Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR, and on the Civic Media app.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Great local music. This is Max.
The Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM WLCX programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Bug Tussle Wireless.
Bug Tussle.
If you're looking for a different way to ring in the new year, Wisconsin has its own version of the Times Square ball drop. It's the Big Cheese Drop, a giant glittering wedge of Satori cheese lowered every year outside the Art Center, known as the Times Square of Plymouth, Wisconsin, the cheese capital of the world. The celebrations include cheese tasting, music, games, and the Big Cheese Drop at 10. It's a family-friendly event. I'm Terry Barr, and from all of us with the Civic Media Radio Network, happy holidays.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On the Eagle 1490 WLCX.
Here's a message just for the attorneys out there. So you passed the bar, joined a firm, or even built your own. Now are you finding out that you're doing more administration than actual law practice? Lexicon can help. Lexicon is a legal technology provider with over a decade of experience.